Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners, and you that are listening by computer and cyberspace. Thank you for joining us tonight for the Ladder House Bible Enrichment Hour. We want to give a shout out to our partners and most especially Granny's Place, whose president is Sister Beverly Beasley, for sponsoring us this Ladder House Enrichment Hour. We thank God for her, and we thank God for you for joining us. We hope that you had a most wonderful, wonderful day, and everything is well with you. It has been a beautiful day in the neighborhood. We've had bright sunshine here in Dallas. We've had great fellowship today, and it's just been a beautiful, beautiful day. So I would like to go ahead and tell you what the Ladder House Bible Enrichment Hour is all about. It is about a people predestined to restore virtue in a society bearing a spiritual and moral excellence through a message of the gospel of the kingdom of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It is our endless desire to join a diverse generation for the purposes of connecting and developing other champions. In a technological advanced society, we deliberately create platforms, special events, seminars, conventions, and fellowships in which the wounded and unusually gifted can find aid and a place of appreciation. Our aim is to continue to create an environment of love, unity, faith, and victory in which all can discover the champion within. We invite you to be a part of the important project. Preferably consider partnering with us as we build this platform where the true nature of God can freely be experienced and expressed by all. For more information, please send an email inquiry to thelhnetwork@gmail.com. Predestined to Serve, Dr. S.D. Carter, Founder and National Director. So that is what the Ladder House is all about. They are here to encourage and uplift a nation that is void of moral excellence and restore virtue. We are glad to have them on with us at this hour. We are looking forward to what Dr. Carter has to share with us tonight, and also the members of his congregation there in Los Angeles. So we just happy tonight to be here with you. We are just joyous, and tonight we want to go ahead and give a prayer to all, asking God's grace and mercy upon this radio broadcast tonight, and just asking Him to come in and show up and show out as He does so faithfully and continuously tonight. So we're going to go, dear Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your mercies and your kindness and your love that you have given us today and how you have guided us and kept us all day long through the storms and through the rain and through the sunshine and through heartaches and pains. And God, we just thank you for being God. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for just keeping us in your will and in your way. And we just thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the Ladder House and the members of the Ladder House. We thank you that you for Dr. Carter tonight, dear God. Father, please come and show up and show out as you usually do. Come and bless his heart tonight, dear God. Lift whatever is going on with him tonight, dear God. Keep him in your will. Keep him in your way. Lead and guide him throughout this enrichment hour. Let something be said or done that we can all grow from and learn from and take it and share it with one another, God, and to those that are lost. Father, for it is our desire to share and to give you glory and to give you honor for the things that you have done for us today, dear God. We love you, Father. We appreciate you, God. We thank you, Father, for your kindness and your mercy and your long-suffering, for we know that it is nothing that we have done to deserve to, for you to be so good to us, and we just thank you, dear God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, dear God, for just being God. We thank you for being a God that sits high and looks low, God. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your love. Father, we just thank you for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, dear God. And we just offer a praise to you tonight, dear God. We offer to honor you. We want to glorify you in everything that we do, say, or have done, Father. God, please just lead us tonight. Please just keep us tonight. Please bless the members of the Latter House in L.A. Father, give them wisdom. Give them courage. Make them strong. Help them to keep going on. Father, help them to lift up their pastor, Pastor Shelton D. Carter, God. Crown his head with wisdom from on high, God. Bless him, Father, that everywhere his feet tread, he's blessed, dear God. He's blessed going out and coming in. Father, he needs you tonight. Father, he needs you to just guide him, lead him, help him, God. Keep him, Father. The Latter House needs you, God. We all need you tonight, dear God. We all worship you. We all give you honor. We all give you praise. Father, we just ask this, these blessings in your Son Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. Well, good evening, good evening, good evening again, Blog Talk listeners, and I see the Latter House members are coming on. I'm going to go ahead and yield the floor to Sister Shanine and ask the, her to go ahead and bless us.
Well, good evening, and thank you for the forum, Sister Lewis. We enjoy being here at Granny's Place. It is our pleasure to actually worship and just be in fellowship with you guys here this evening. I don't know who all else has had the opportunity to come on from the Latter House, but if you are here, will you take a moment to say good evening to us?
Well, howdy, this is Sister Velma from Dallas. How y'all doing?
Yeah,
we're great.
Good to hear your voice.
Amen.
Anyone else like to take the opportunity to say good evening to us this evening here at the Bible in Richmond Hour, sponsored by Granny's Place? We are honored to be here, and we just like to, you know, let them know the Latter House is in the house. Anybody else want to say good evening? Well, we thank them and we thank God for this gracious opportunity and the privilege of sharing and connecting with like-minded individuals. We here at the Latter House are predestined to restore virtue in society that is barren of spiritual and moral excellence through unusual platforms. And it's a great opportunity to just come in and get to know your word and get to understand the God that you serve. And that you don't put on Christendom, but it is who we are, and it is how we're striving to live. We live in victory. We are victorious, and we praise on purpose, intentionally, no matter what things look like. We're learning how to be more and more effective in just being a people of praise, a people that intentionally look for God. And when we look for God in everything and look for the divine and all that we see and everyone we see, we run into that. We expect and we get what we expect, and it's a great frequency to live on, to understand that you're in control of what goes on, because you have the opportunity and the right to release the Holy Spirit in everything and every avenue that you go into. It is our divine right, and when we understand that and understand that we can control the atmospheres and things that we go in by what we say and we get what we expect. We understand, we prepare for that we expect. I remember one time Dr. Carter was sharing with us just about, you know, if you're in expectation, you know, you should be able to see that. If you expect rain, you have your raincoat on, you have your umbrella, you got your things ready, prepared for that. So you expect God to move, you move with that authority. You stand in that vernacular understanding that my God is here and he's here to represent, not arrogantly, but just knowing. It's a difference in believing and knowing, because when you believe, that means sometimes you can unbelieve. You can change because of circumstances, of bad things happening. But when you know God. You know God is everywhere. It's a different perspective because you know there is not any place that God cannot be. And it's just a great avenue to be in, an arena to be in, because Dr. Carter brings us into the awareness of understanding the simplicity of our Bible, not making it so complicated. Just read it. He teaches us that on a regular basis, and we thank God for the opportunity to be able to be open to receive that. With that, I know there's some more people come on the line, have come on the line. We can't really hear chimes like we do in the morning for our New Day call. So those that haven't had the opportunity to say good evening to us here at Granny's Place, at Bible Enrichment Hour, please take a moment to say good evening. Well, the man of God was sharing with us this morning and some things out of, I believe it was Isaiah chapter 10. I don't know who all was, had the opportunity to be on the call this morning, but if you could take an opportunity and just share some of the things you were able to learn and gather from the things that were that Dr. Carter taught this morning, that would be greatly appreciated. The floor is open. Well, it's not. That's okay, too, because I understand some of us are in different areas and different arenas. But we do take pride and privilege in the fact that we are able to not only come together Monday through Friday on a New Day call, but here at Granny's Place, we're able to come together for our Bible Enrichment Hour to hear from our founder and overseer, Dr. Shelton Carter, great man of God, that not just has been able to teach us our Bible and show us how to live in Christendom, but is a shining example of how to do that even when things don't look like they're supposed to look. He shows us how to get things back into perspective, how to get our mind and keep our mind in the perspective of seeing God in everything. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to none other than our founder and overseer, Dr. Shelton Carter. So the floor is yours.
God bless you, Sister Shanine. God bless you. Amen. Can you hear me? This evening, amen.
Yes, sir.
All right, very good, very good. To all that are on, good evening. It's a pleasure to be with you all again tonight, as we were this morning. God is spectacular and magnificent in all of his ways, and he's never shy, never short, amen, of releasing and showing his power as well as his grace. And so tonight, we're thankful for those ends, amen, that God is showing himself strong and mighty in our lives. And this is our confession of faith, that we are believing that God is going to show himself, amen, miraculous in the lives of his people. One of my earnest desires is that the people of God will get and achieve and have everything that the Lord purposed for them, amen, and that they will be able to enjoy the fruits, amen, of their labor. I was meditating, amen, before coming on and just trying to hear the Lord. And hear the Lord. And I was led, amen, concerning a passage of scripture. Well, one is, you've heard me use terms like manifestation will settle the issue. Manifestation will settle the issue, or to manifest, or to bring something forth. It is somewhat in type of a caring mother or a pregnant woman, amen. In her first weeks of pregnancy, she's noticing that there's changes going on with her, but none of them are yet visible. So everything that she's saying concerning the happenings of life, it's very hard for people to really understand where she is because they don't see anything. And people are usually led predominantly by their senses, what they can smell, what they can taste, what they can touch, what they can hear. Amen. And so when you can't see it, it's very difficult to get people to bring, come into the revelation that you have a man that had not yet been revealed yet. Mm. But through the process of time comes along the bumps, amen. When I say the bump, I'm not talking about the bumps in the road, but I'm talking about the bump in your belly, the bump to your pregnancy, the acknowledgement of your dream. And sometimes mm-hmm. that bump, amen, primarily in this primary state, is not identified or recognized, amen, as a blessing. But sometimes that bump could be a hardship. It could be mm-hmm. trouble. It could be a crack, amen, in the pavement. It could be a water pot that causes your vehicle, your traveling mechanism, to veer off course or to go in a direction that it hadn't planned on going. Mm-hmm. It's a veering, it's an upsetting thing. But yet it's all part of the process. So as you begin to grow, people realize that you got something, carrying something. They're just not really sure what it is. They're not sure if it's a boy, if it's a girl, if it's twins, if it's whatever. They don't know what it is. They just know it's something in there. And so their hopes is that they'll be able to partake in it and be a part of it and be with it. And so what they do is they'll buy gifts for you and do those kind of things. But then once a man, it seems as if they're not really sure if they're a part of it, you know, people will extract themselves, amen, from your process. But tonight I want to talk to you about how God manifests, what he's doing. He's manifesting. He is manifesting for a purpose. He has an idea. He has a plan. He has a vision for this. In Ezekiel 47, you all remember where he has this prophetic dream, if you would, of this vision. And the vision was that of this temple in which the waters flowed from out from beneath the temple. And I'm going to read a little bit of it for you out of Ezekiel 47. And it reads in verse 1, it says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. And for the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in its hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was so deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?' Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river, were very many trees on one side of the other. Then he said to me, 'The water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes.'" Everything will live wherever the rivers go.
Come on.
"It shall be that the fishermen will stand by it from Engedi to Ingleham. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kind as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their waters flows from the sanctuary. The fruit will be for food, and their leaves will be for medicine." He says they will bear, he says they will bear fruit every month because their waters flows from the sanctuary. Their waters flows from the sanctuary. Now we're talking, amen, in Revelation again, speaking, because again, this is a vision that Ezekiel has, and it's a vision of the temple, unlike Solomon's work, unlike the other temples that were erected in the Old Testament. This was literally a vision or of a temple that never was erected, if you would. Reason being is because it was a spiritual vision. It was not a man. It was a spiritual vision and not for a physical manifestation, but yet it was something that we had to understand spiritually, if you would. And so spiritually, amen, bless God, he speaks of these waters that would flow. And the water was symbolic, amen, of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. The glory of God. Mm-hmm. So when you hear me talking about manifestation, I'm talking about the glory of God revealed. What is the glory of God? What is that thing? What is the glory? The glory of God is the manifested goodness of God revealed and made known to this earth dimension, amen, of the sovereignty of God, which meant that if it comes forth, it's not coming forth to announce, amen, only, but it's actually coming forth, amen, to confirm what was already said and done before it actually showed up. Mm-hmm. To manifest a thing means that you have to bring it from one realm into another realm. You got to bring it from invisible realm into the visible realm. You got to make it from nothing to something.
Mm-hmm.
Before you ever go from nothing to something, you got to understand there's a process that goes along with that. You don't just show up in waters that you could swim in. You got to first start with little drips of water first.
Right.
And if you get them up to your ankle, you got to be excited and satisfied that you at least got it up to the ankle. You keep pressing forward until you get it up to the knees. Then you keep moving until you get it up to the waist. Mm-hmm. And understand, when it gets that high, it has a purpose. It has a purpose not just to go through the rivers into the common lands, but the glory that God is trying to reveal through a vision, through an operation and a work. He says, I'm trying to get it to the seas, because once it gets to the sea, its waters are healed, and everything that these waters touch, everything that this vision touched, everything that the glory touched, he said, it shall live. Every thing that was dying and decaying, he said, it'll come back to light. And so sometimes when God is trying to bring forth a thing out of you, and that you have things around it that are trying to destroy it, stop it, and to annihilate it, you have to understand that it is literally fertilizer, seasoning, amen, or literally the verification that the thing that God said to you is actually the truth. The Bible talks about this in Romans. In Romans, he says that he talks about the present sufferings of this time. He said they won't be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. There is glory that's going to show up outside of the persecution. There's going to be glory that shows up based upon the conditions and the things that are happening in this time in life. Time in life is time. You got to understand, part of processing is time, and time is a part of the process. It's part of the equation before you manifest the things. And sometimes you just got to wait out the time. The Bible says that when Jesus was in the garden, that he was praying, and as he was praying, that the soldiers came to take him away. When they came to take him away, Peter got upset, took his sword out, and cut the man's ear off. And after cutting off his ear, Jesus turned to Peter and said, hold up, buddy, I understand that you protected my best interest, but this right here is just Satan's hour. Satan's hour.
Come on.
This is the point and the moment that Satan gets to run crazy in your life. This is the time that Satan gets to do everything he possibly could do to try to bring you down to your knees. Got to understand, this was a time of great deception and great betrayal for Jesus, amen. But you got to understand, he said to them after they betrayed him and after they carried him away and then after Peter cut the ear off, he says, wait a minute. He said, this is just Satan's hour. But he says to the soldiers, he turned to them, and he said, come on, let's get it on over with. He said, go ahead and do whatever it is you're going to do. Whatever it is you're going to do, he said, do it quickly. I understand this is Satan's hour. Go ahead and do what you need to do. Get it on over with. Because after you get done doing all you're going to do, you're going to see me rise to the throne.
You're going to see me be named King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're going to see me become everything that God said I would become even before we've had this disaster. You're going to see that manifestation is going to settle the issue. And one day, everyone will have to look up and say, surely that was the Son of God. But isn't it amazing that sometimes people don't ever identify what and who you are until after they done killed you? But it's okay to die certain death, because certain death brings forth the truth of who you really are. Because without a death, you can't have a resurrection. And with a resurrection comes a multiplicity of blessings and streams of power and greatness. And so not only do they attack your dream and your vision and your glory, but you got to understand that they're attacking the seeds of glory that are within your glory. They're attacking the seeds of glory that was in your promise. They're attacking the fruitfulness that is upon your vision. It's not just you. It's about everything that's around you. It's not just what's going on in your life. It's the thing that's attached to your life. This is not just about you. This is about the people next to you, amen, that have to come forth. The Bible says these waters, that they left the temple, they went out through the rivers and they went through the common lands, and then from the common lands into the sea, and everything that they touched, everything that this glory touched, became better than what it was. The idea was to keep the glory from flowing. But I want you to see something as it relates to glory. The Bible says that here in Ezekiel that the water had begun to flow from beneath the sanctuary, came and flew from the temple. And notice that the more they flowed from the temple, the more denser, amen, that the glory got as it was released from the temple. We have exchanged and been trying to get glory in the temple, but the reality is God is trying to get glory out of the temple. He said, for out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Before your water becomes alive, you got to have your water broke. And God told me to tell the line this morning that your water has broken.
All right.
And we walking around with a leak. But this leak that we walking around with is sure enough going to show up one day. There's going to be a powerful stream of overflow. Say what you want, do what you want. It's going to be a powerful stream of overflow. It's going to be so apparent and obvious that God be with you that no man will be able to refute the thing that God will do. And he will receive glory and honor out of your life. You just be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For it's coming, it's coming. The issue is that you're trying to get glory on the inside, and God is trying to get the glory out of you. He's trying to get it out of you. Sometimes the best way to get the juice out of fruit is to squeeze it. And so when we go through tight times in life, hard-pressed on every side, Paul says, when we're going through all these persecutions and pains, you have to understand it all has a purpose for the redeemed. If God be for you, he's more than this world that is against you. And he will manifest every promise, every dream, every ideal, if you would just stand still, hold fast, and do like the old folks say, hold on to God's unchanging hand. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. All you have to do is commit to standing in his position to do whatever it is that he said you would do. Stand there with your loins girded up and allow that water to flow from you. Allow it to flow out of you. It's coming out of you. The trouble that you find yourself in, the disasters that you come across, it's just a squeezing to get it out. The squeezing to get it out. But you got to understand, if you're going to get it out, you got to do it right. And there's a way to get this thing done. The Bible talks about in Philippians, he talks in Ephesians, in Philippians 2, he talks about, let nothing be done through vain glory. Through vain glory. One place it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Selfish ambitions are vain glory. Solomon talks about this greatly, and he talks about vanity, vanity. For all is vanity. It's just all vanity. I got silver and I got gold. I got riches. I got land. I got houses. I got all this stuff, but it's all vanity. What is vanity? Vanity means emptiness. It's just empty. He said, let nothing be done with vain glory, empty glory. What is empty glory? Empty glory is a glory that's not qualified yet. And this is what ministry looks like oftentimes, is that it's unqualified glory. Just because you can get a tax ID number don't mean you got glory coming out of you. Just because you can get a certificate in your hand don't mean the glory is going to come out of you. If you're going to get real glory that comes out of you, you got to learn how to stand in the midst of the storm, amen, with your loins girded up and be able to stand against the winds of life that come your way. This is the making of an apostolic ministry gift. That if you're going to be an apostle that sends forth and releases other gifts in the earth, you got to be qualified yourself. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be made salt. We need to be able to distinguish whether you are wood, hay, straw. We need to be able to distinguish whether or not you are silver or if you're gold.
Uh-huh.
If you're gold, you can stand the test of time. Don't matter what comes against your life. Don't matter what comes against your ministry. What comes against your marriage. You can stand because you're golden.
Golden. Yes.
You're golden, and you don't move, amen. You don't burn up because the fire is in you. You may get smoke on you, but, honey, you can take a shower. Rinse that stuff off of you, lotion yourself up, and get ready for the next day.
Come on.
Got to be able to stand. And if you're going to do ministry, you got to have a backbone. You got to have the ability to resist the wind. You got to, it's not just resisting him, but you got to know how to resist him. The Bible says that he said if there's going to be any, matter of fact, let's look at it in Philippians, amen, chapter 2. Hallelujah. We want true glory. We want honest glory. We want the truth of God's gospel. Woo!
Hallelujah.
Philippians. I know it's, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yeah, the Reverend is turning in his Bible. Yes, Lord. There it is. Philippians 2. There it is. Philippians. Praise God, people of God. Philippians 2. My fingers are getting stuck. I'm trying to hold a phone and turn pages at the same time. Y'all pray my strength in the Lord tonight. Amen. Philippians, there you are, Philippians. Mr. Philip, glad to see you, sir. Philippians 2 reads, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, he says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself.
Come
on. You look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming into the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that is, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Before you ever get to that place of prominence, you got to first make sure that your objective and your motivations are right. If you're going to do this, make sure you're doing it, amen, with no vanity in you. You'd be surprised how many people want to go into ministry but have no purpose for ministry other than self-identification, self-exaltation, self-lifting. Let me tell you something. If you're going to really walk in ministry, walk in the anointing of God's glory, trust and believe, there is a price that you got to pay, and there is a how-to in that you get it done. You got to consider it not robbery. He said he considered not robbery to be equal with God because he was God. He wasn't only 100% man, but he was 100% God. But yet he humbled himself. And he said in the Bible that he made of himself of no reputation. And he found himself in the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, found in the appearance as a man. He still humbled himself. Threw off his reputation because he understood that if I was going to be a man of God, your reputation was going to get stepped on anyway. It was going to get challenged anyway. Why does your reputation get challenged? Your reputation get challenged because, again, they have to disqualify the anointing of God that is about to come forth. And it happens because, again, Satan gets some level of information concerning the chosen in God, and therefore he plans his weaponry towards those vessels, and therefore try to dismiss, diminish, as well as deceive those that are to receive from that, so that therefore when the water starts flowing in the places where healing is necessary, that you as the one that need to be healed can't be healed because somebody has corrupted the flow of your water. Somebody has messed up the flow of your understanding. To the point that you've been deceived to the point that you can't perceive the way you need to perceive, and it's very difficult to perceive something, amen, or to receive from something that you can't perceive of.
Come on.
If you can't perceive that person to be a woman or a man of God, you cannot receive from that person. And this is what Satan does against his elect in the earth. He looses a seed, an operation of deception out there. He begins chatter. And he mixes it with a couple of facts. And therefore, you become challenged in the things that you already know. But I've shared with you once before on more than one occasion, that is a dangerous place to be into. It was the place that John found himself in, where John, amen, was the one that pointed out Jesus, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the earth." John was the one that also that baptized Jesus, that said, "Man, I should not be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." John also was the one that heard the Father speak from the heavens and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But it also was the John that said, "I'm going to send out two of my disciples to go ask that Jesus guy, is he the one, or should we be looking for another one?" In other words, he changed his confession along the way based upon the predicament that he found himself in. John was in prison. John was in pain. John was in hurt. So now all of a sudden he's starting to question things that he already had the answer to. He says, "Are you the one, or should we be looking for another one? John, what happened to you? I thought you knew he was the one. You were the one that said he was the one. Not only were you the one that said he was the one, but you was the one that heard even the Father himself speak over him and said, 'This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased.'"
Come on.
So there's no mistake about my understanding of him as it relates to the heavens. The heavens already said it, and you heard the heavens say it. Because you're in your situation, you're now starting to question and reason what you already know. And if you remember anything about the passage, that John lost his head. He was beheaded. He lost his authority. And he ended up dying a dreadful death. Why? Because he was in prison and he was upset with Jesus because he felt like Jesus should have been doing this, or Jesus shouldn't have been doing that, or Jesus should have been coming and visit him. And because Jesus didn't come visit him, he had an attitude. Got to be careful how with people that change when they get in their feelings. Got to be careful when you're dealing with folks that have changed their man on you and begin to crucify you and send all matter of slander and rheumatism about you. Of who you are, but understand this, baby. They remember when the heavens opened and said, "That's my Son."
Okay.
So, what is the objective? Is the objective is to prove your Son? No, you don't go prove nothing. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and there will come a given moment that they themselves will have to say, "Surely, that is the Son of God." Because there's no way that anybody could do that unless God be with them.
Okay.
I want to announce to somebody tonight that God is going to use your trouble. God's going to use your trouble, amen, to manifest his goodness in your life. He's working all things together for the good of them that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. He's using it all.
Yes.
You got to know this. If you don't know this, then you'll try to make your reputation, and you'll try to save face. Jesus didn't try to save face while being on the cross. He wasn't sitting up there saying it didn't hurt. He wasn't up there saying, I don't feel bad. He just stood the test of time, hung suspended in the air between earth and the heavens until it was decided who he belonged to. Mm-hmm. Once the God began to reveal himself, then everything in the, not only in the earth, but everything in the heavens knew who he was. He ascended on the cloud, took his final place on the mercy seat in glory. And the Bible said that all of heaven stopped, and he told the angels, now bow down and worship him. For I've given him now the name that is above all names, above all thrones, above all principalities. I've given him now. Why? Because he passed the test of time. Passed the test. What test? The vanity test. The vanity test. Vain glory. Empty glory. Empty glory is glory that comes without process. Empty glory is glory that comes without sacrifice. It's vanity. It looks good. It's like David, when David was restoring the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible said he put that Ark on a brand new cart. And as he put it on a brand new cart, the cart looked nice. It was pretty. It was shiny. Matter of fact, he had people going before him. He had the singers and the musicians playing with all their might and all their strength going before him. So it looked like one thing, and it looked like a lot of fanfare, and it almost looked blessed until they got the shit on the threshing floor, and then the oxen stumbled because the Bible says the anger of God was aroused, and therefore Deacon Uzzah got killed, graveyard dead. I want somebody to know tonight that God's anger is rising.
Okay.
It's rising. Why? Okay. Because folks are becoming accumulated in their offenses towards not you, it's towards the kingdom of God. You are one of God's elect. You are one of God's finest. What they do to you, they do to your God. But if you get down and start trying to defend yourself and represent yourself, you run the risk of stepping into vanity. But we won't run into vanity tonight. We're going to run away from vanity. And we're going to say, Lord, thank you for allowing us the privilege of qualifying us. Thank you for the privilege of putting us through fire. Thank you for the privilege of putting us on the altar. Thank you for the privilege of allowing these thorns to be pressed down on our head, this piercing to be put in our side. And yes, we look a bloody mess on this cross, an embarrassing shame, but we are over ourselves tonight. And we throw off our reputation. And we say, not my will be done, Lord, but thy will be done. Your will be done tonight. I represent your promise, Lord. I represent your will.
Yes.
Vain glory, vain glory, vain glory, vain glory. Vain glory is when you're trying to prove everything, prove something to everybody that has not yet been qualified. Not qualified. It's amazing how folk that get together in 1 month, they want the prestige, they want the security, the stability of folk that's been married for 25 years. No, baby, you got to go through the process of time before you get to that level of strength. You ain't been through a war yet. You ain't been through a struggle yet. Till you gone through least all four seasons, you cannot even say what you were doing one season to another. You got to learn to stand.
Yes.
Be counted for.
Yes.
Counted for.
Yes.
Can we qualify you? Can we stand on you? Can we see that you are a stable and sure place? Think about our ministry. When people come to our ministry, I notice that those that have been with me for a long time, they take a second look sometimes. Not a judgmental look, but a second look, because they're trying to identify to make sure it is what it's supposed to be, because so many times people have come our way and said they were this and said they were that until the wind came. And when the wind came, you'd be surprised how they started to act. And then the next thing you know, we've had trouble. And so I noticed that those that have been around a long time, they watch. They don't just pray, but they watch. But then they will pray. But don't get it moved. They will fight if necessary. I'm noticing that the things that go on around our ministry without conversation, these are things that are just spilling out. I had no idea. When Nehemiah, when he was under attack, the Bible said that he set a watch against his enemies night and day. The people of God had set a watch in our ministry. And they began to give people hours of the night to stand up and pray, get up and pray, hours of the day to pray. A 24-hour watch around their man of God. I had no idea. but it showed the strength of the people, the tenacious character of the people. I've heard people say all manner of things about the people, but what they forgot to say is that they are praying people. They're
right.
believing people. They're forgiving
on.
People. They are loving people. And this is what makes us who we are. Because we don't say that we don't find ourselves in trouble. It's just how we respond to the trouble. Life life will hit you with things, but it's how you respond to the life that hits you. Vainglory.
Right.
What is vainglory? Right. Vainglory is when you clawing your way to the top just to be at the top so people can see you at the top. Vainglory is when you want people to believe that you're all of that and some more and that you never have real problems, and then when you do, it's always somebody else's fault. It's vainglory. You doing all you can to get there, then finally only to get there to realize that once you get there, that there is actually nowhere, but you done fought, you done cheated, you done manipulated, you done did everything you need to do to get there, and now you done got there, and there is actually nowhere. It's vanity. This
Come
is
on.
What Solomon said. He said, I got all this stuff, but it was nothing. Because everything that mattered was right here at the bottom.
Come on.
Everything that mattered was right here with me from the beginning. The issue is that you didn't stick to it.
Mm.
He said, if you're gonna have real manifestation, he said, you got to abide in me as I abide in you. Abide, honey. You got to abide. What does it mean to abide? I got to stay with it. I got to stick to it. Abide. The only reason we don't abide and stick to it because we're not actually sure of where we are, what we are. We start moving presumptuously instead of standing still and allowing the Lord to move through us.
Amen.
Vanity. Lord, dismiss us from vanity.
Yes.
Vanity. Vanity. Unqualified, unstable. No stick-to-itness, no certainty, no foundation. Vanity. Look at me. Look at that. I'm over here. I'm over there. It was them. It was theirs. It was they. It wasn't me. Vanity. Vanity.
Wow.
Vanity. When you are what you are, you can stand on the cross and be a bloody shame and still have the power to reach over to a sinner and say, look, man, you're going to be in paradise along with me. When you really got what it takes, you can lean over and tell somebody, Father, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
But they know not what they do.
Yes.
They didn't know. They didn't really know. They thought, they assumed I was the one. But they didn't really know, because if they really would have known. So, Father, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive them.
Yes.
Forgive them.
Yes.
Why do I need to forgive so I don't interrupt my flow?
All right.
Amen.
There is a flow
Amen.
That's coming. And it's going to go from the ankles. There's going to be a flow of glory that's going to go up to the knees. That's going to go up to the waist. That's going to go into the sea, baby. You're going to go from the city to the common lands to the nations.
Yes.
Listen, what the Lord said to me today, you're going to the nation, son. You're going to the nation, son. You're going to the nation, son.
Come on.
You're going to the nation.
Yes.
People have invited your pastor to come and speak in an international conference this year. And on last Sunday, we went to minister, and those guests that were inviting me had got wind that we were going to be in Lancaster, California. And they came out to celebrate because they heard that we were coming. And just wanted to reiterate, Pastor, we need you to come and speak to our International Women's Conference over in Aruba. We need you to come and share that word of revelation, that word of life, that word of healing. And we understand that that level of anointing is not coming just because you sat down and studied. But we understand there's something greater behind that that will break and destroy yokes. And I said, yes, it comes. It comes with a price. That's why we don't consider the present sufferings of this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're waiting on the glory. The glory. The glory. The glory is something that comes from the inside.
Yes.
And it shows up on the outside. Oh, folks, you're just saying, there's something on the inside. working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, in my life.
Come
on. It's going to show up. It's going to show up any moment. And I know it get tough. I know it get tight. I know the clouds. I know it's dark outside and the clouds are gone. And you can't see moon or daylight. But I want you to know that soon and very soon, your light will come and shine forth his glory.
Yes.
Moses wanted to see the glory of God. God told him, he said, you can't see my glory. He said, but I'll veil your face because you ain't been redeemed enough to handle this level of glory. Mm. He said, I'll allow my goodness to pass before you. He said, I'll allow my goodness to pass before you.
Come on.
He says, I'll show mercy to whom I'm merciful, and I'll show my glory to who I'll be glory. And my name, he said, I'll be found wherever my name is. Wait a minute. That was a key and an indication of where God's glory would be. He said, I'm allowing my glory to pass before you. I'll be gracious to whom I'm gracious to, and I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful to. What he literally was saying, because he was not arbitrarily suggesting that he would give to some and not to others, but he gave us the key to find out where his glory would be. He said, my glory is going to be wherever my name is. Is his name on you? Is his name on you is the only question. I don't care how much pain, how much struggle, is his name on you? And if his name is on you, then that name will manifest the goodness of God that will settle and resolve every issue in and of your life. Is his name on you? Says, as it relates to the law of making of the altar, in Exodus he says that altar of earth you shall make for me. Altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice upon it, he says. He says that you shall sacrifice your cattle and your oxen, he says, upon that altar. And wherever the Lord, he says, I will bless you, and I will come and meet you there. I'll come and meet you there. Meet me where? Wherever my name has been recorded. His name is recorded on the lives of people who stay on altars. Not folk that stay on stages. Not folk that try to stay on platforms and look the part, dress the part. But for those that are willing to stay up on the altar. Don't you understand that all altars, the whole purpose of an altar is to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
A place of sacrifice. It's a place where all the flesh get cut out, burnt out. All the emotions get dealt with right there on that altar. He said, if you could stay on that altar, he says, I will record my name on you. And wherever I record my name, he said, I will come and bless you there. Ephesians says that the whole family of God, is name, the name of Jesus has come upon you. And if you're standing in proxy on behalf of the kingdom of God, his name is on you. And he's already given the promise. He said that wherever my name is recorded, I will come and bless you. The issue is you didn't understand the recording. Whole purpose of a recording is so that you can play it back. So if he say that my name, which is Jehovah Jireh, is up on you, he said you got to play it back, son. I've already said Jireh is on your life. Now you declare Jehovah Jireh is manifesting his goodness in my life. I've already said Jehovah Rapha is on your life. Then I declare the healer is on my life. I've already said that this canoe is on your life. Then I declare that peace and that sanctification and righteousness is on my life. He said, if you can declare it, I'll come and do it. He said, if you can speak it, I'll come and manifest it. And he said, I'll manifest so much goodness of mine, so many attributes of my name, that it'll be so thick that you could swim in it. And not only will you be so strong in his glory, but this glory be so powerful in your life that everywhere you go, you are touch somebody's life for the better.
Come on.
I couldn't understand. We were walking in ministry on Sunday, and the people of God begin to get blessed. all over the place and had no idea the pain that I had carried, had no idea the stress I wore, but they were receiving and receiving and receiving. And God said, that's how I get the glory out of you, son.
Yes.
Hold on, because I'm about to cool you off any moment now. And I'm about to manifest a work that will prove and speak for itself.
Yes.
He said, these waters going to flow. Stay in one place. No, you're trying to be stuck in Los Angeles. It can't stay stuck in Los Angeles. It got to go. And it can't just go just to one place. It got to go to multiple places. And by the Spirit and by the witness of God, the people of God have been getting to witness that this Ladder House thing is not just a building.
All right.
It's not just the people.
All right.
Down, it's a nation.
Come on.
It's a nation. A generation of people that have been processed, not just showed up, but processed. Not just acting, but processed people. They've been so processed they can't be arrogant. They've been through so much they can't be haughty. They've been through so much trouble that they understand that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I wouldn't be right here right now. So there's no arrogance or no pride left in me. Only certainty and assurance of who my God is. And you got to watch it there too, because when you're sure about who your God is, people will try to disqualify you and call you arrogant. Arrogant,
all right.
Narcissistic, and all this other craziness. When the reality is, I am what I am. And when you understand what you are, you can say, I am what I am.
Right.
Because what I went through proved what I was.
Yes.
When I stood this test of time, God proved and verified himself and put a label on it. And the label he put on it was blessed. Blessed! Blessed. So blessed that he'll speak from heaven and give voice for himself and say, this right here, this is my son. Because a servant is not greater than his master. But my servant went through the process of time. He carried his cross. She carried her cross. They carried their luggage and did what it is they were supposed to do. Until God got through with them. They didn't make themselves no reputation. They didn't try to make themselves a wonder. They just stood still and loved unconditionally, forgave unconditionally, did all that God put in their heart to do unconditionally. Wasn't predicated on whether or not you could be seen, identified, or glorified. It was just because God said it, and I just wanted to serve him. I just wanted to serve God. I didn't come in with no motive, didn't come in for no reason. I just came to serve him.
Man.
Came to seek the Lord while he can be found. Yeah. What are you saying today, Pastor? I'm saying that there's glory falling. And it's about to hit your house any day.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so thick, it's going to be so obvious
that
no man will be able to refute the glory that's on your life. No man will be able to challenge, what is up on your life. And they will, too, have to say, that surely is a woman of God.
Yeah.
That right there. At one time, I was kind of confused. Oh, but now I know for sure that one right there is God's choice.
Mm.
Not because of the prestige, but because of the process.
All right.
We got to see their sons being convulsed in the middle of the street. We got to see all that happening until the witness of the Spirit showed up.
Yes.
And said, it ain't a matter of whether or not I can move. It's a matter of can you believe. And so once we got our place of belief up, then that's when God will start manifesting. They asked the question where they had brought that boy who was demon-possessed to Jesus. And the question was this, how long has this been? How long has this situation been like this?
Hmm.
It was the question. He said, how long has it been? Father turned to Jesus. He said, this has been long, and now it's often. It's been a long season, but now it seems like week after week, almost day after day, different stuff is just showing up. Of negative rapport. What do you do when the trouble runs not only consistently, not only aggressively, but what do you do when it runs frequently?
Come on.
When a frequent trouble come into your life.
Come on.
How long has it been?
How long?
The more frequent it is an indication that the anointing to break you free and out is here. How long has it been? He says it's been long and it's been often. I want to tell you something tonight to encourage your faith. If you've been dealing with something that has been frequent and has tenure to it, and you're not dead yet,
come on.
It's safe to say
that
God is with you, and
yes.
If God be for you, He is greater.
Come on.
Anything that could be against you, because
come
it's
on.
Been long, and no man could handle this type of thing, this type of weathering, this type of processing.
Come on.
And if God be with you.
God
is with you.
Yes.
God is with you.
Yes.
Take faith in knowing that your God is with you tonight. Your God is with you tonight.
Yes.
You close your eyes and go to sleep tonight. No, God is with you.
Yes, He is. Thank
that means
you, Jesus.
He ain't on the way.
Thank
he
you, Lord. Thank you.
God
Thank
is here.
Thank you.
And His Spirit is moving all over the place.
Thank you.
He's here to heal. He's here to save. He's here to supply all your needs.
Thank
Just
you,
recognize
Father.
His presence, the songwriter say.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
and receive
you.
All His blessings. Yes, God is here. He's here. Right now.
Yes.
God is here.
Yes, 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 yes.
God is here. You couldn't make it. You couldn't even stand unless He was here with you. Some night my heart would palpitate so fast. Stress would be so great. I knew I would be at stroke level. I knew I'd be at a heart attack place. And I couldn't understand why was it I was able to just sit there. I couldn't understand it. He said, son, I'm with you. I know what's going on. I'm with you. I got your back.
Yes.
I say to all you all on this line tonight, God got you. He's with you. He got your
Thank
back.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
and
you, Lord.
And manifestation is going
Thank
to settle you. The issue. You
yes.
will come forth, but not just
yes.
any kind of way. You ain't going to come out a bloody mess. You going to come out like pure gold.
Come on. Speak.
Gold, baby.
Speak.
Gold!
Put that in the atmosphere. Come on.
Shine on me. Let light from heaven
shine.
No. Shine and shine and shine. You walk
Come
up
on.
And down the street saying, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'll let it shine. Hide it under a bush or I can't if I wanted to. This thing is so bright now. You got to understand, man. The glory of the Lord has come. Rise and shine, for His light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen amongst you.
Yes.
Receive that in the name of Jesus. The glory of the
I
Lord has risen
it.
Amongst you. It has
yes.
come.
Yes.
It is here.
Yes.
And you will achieve everything you purpose to do. I know it's not. I'm not saying you don't stagger or stumble.
Yep.
Sometimes want to throw in the towel and quit.
Yep.
But I declare to you now and in the name of Jesus, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That you would be steadfast. God's going to manifest His glory. I know it's tight, and you're at your breaking point. The tightness and the tension have become at an all-time high. But you will make it this one. And you
yes.
don't have my word on it. You got God's word on it.
Yes.
And faithful is He, that is promised. He will perform His oath. He is a mighty. He is a righteous. He is an awesome God.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Our God.
Yes, he is.
Is an awesome God who reigns from heaven above.
Come on.
With wisdom, with power, right, and with love.
Yes.
He's about to break you out and see you in and by getting you through.
All right.
I received this for myself today.
All right.
If none of y'all don't. I received this for myself today.
Yes, Lord.
The
yes,
glory
Lord.
Is about to show up and show out.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't just coming. Mm-hmm. It's about to show up and show out.
Come on.
We're all that around now. We're able to see that God
yes.
before you. He's more than this world and this earth that is against you. God before you.
Thank you, Lord.
God before
Thank
you.
Lord.
God is before you.
Thank you, Lord.
God is before you. Know ye that the Lord, he is your God.
Good.
It is he that has made us and not we ourselves.
See.
For we are the sheep of his pasture, which means that his name is on you. And what did he say
yes.
about his name that would be on you? He said, wherever I record my name, I will come and bless you there.
Come on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He said, I will come. I will bless. Okay. And I'm going to bless you right where you are.
Yes.
So if you're in the middle of hardship, he said, I'm going to come and bless you right there. If you're facing sickness, sadness, or weariness, he said, I'll come and bless you there. Disaster, persecution, conspiracy, he said, I will come and bless you wherever and regardless of whatever it is you're dealing with. Because there is no greater power than my God.
I will. Thank you.
I will because I have already.
Yes.
I'm just waiting on you to declare what I've already said.
Yes.
So in the great song, Sister Velma say, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
Thank you.
I need to send you a reminder, Satan.
Thank you.
You don't have no business with me. Get on your side of the line. Get me behind me, you lying spirit.
Come on.
Lying devil, you lying foe.
Yes,
the anointing of God be against you. The anointing of God be against you. The anointing of Christ Jesus be against you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
That the blood of Jesus flows now and removes every every hindrance, every stumbling block. We command you to cease your operation, Satan.
Yes.
God's light has come. The light of his gospel has come. His light says, instead of shame, you shall receive double honor. And you shall rejoice in your land.
Yes.
God's about to give you your land. About to give you your portion. You will survive. You
Speak
will
that.
Survive. You will survive, Peter.
Yes.
You're going to walk on water. You're going to accomplish the thing that everybody else drowned in. You're going to get it done because God is with you. Take no credit for your own, but glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
Glorify him.
Yes.
Glorify him.
Yes.
Glorify
Thank you,
him.
Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
You're so sweet, God. Oh, man, you're a sweet Savior. Thank you for your word and your encouragement on tonight. Bless your people one by one, individual by individual.
Yes, God.
Come forth now in the name of it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Somebody needs to know that there is wonder working power.
Yes, in the name of
Jesus. Oh, I know.
There's wonder working power. I'm talking about that kind of power that makes you just sit there and wonder, like, my God, he's
so good.
My
Jesus.
God, you look.
Jesus.
Man, you ain't
Jesus.
Seen him show out until you've seen what he's about to do in this season in your life.
Right, Pastor.
Show out on your behalf. Tell
yes.
him about to
better believe it.
Greater. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Father.
Why am I praising
God?
Because I'm sending
Thank
the anointing
you,
of Christ to every house that needed tonight. Why am I
yes.
glorifying God? Because I'm sending victory to every person that
yes.
needs it tonight.
Victory,
we're glorifying God.
Victory.
God because we're loosing the angelic host of heaven
yes,
to go
God.
To the place that
yes,
we cannot
God.
See, the things we do not know, yes. so that heaven will be glorified.
Yes,
today, we're loosing the Spirit of God and commanding Satan to stop his operation now.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we thank you.
In the name
we
of Jesus.
We thank you.
Thank
we
you, Lord.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Thank
you,
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The victory.
We have
we got
the
victory.
Victory.
We got
yes.
the victory. Yes, God.
Glory, glory.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
my
Jesus.
First
I feel better.
It's
so
much, it's so much better.
It's hallelujah. My burden
yes.
and blessed assurance
yes,
is mine. Oh, what a foretaste
yes.
of his glory divine. I'm an heir
yes.
of salvation.
Riches
by God. Born of his spirit.
Yes.
Offer his blood. This is my story.
Yes.
This is my song.
Praising
yes.
my
Savior.
Praising
my
Savior.
Oh,
the day now. Yes, dear God. Yes, dear God. Yes, dear God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes,
we are good.
Yes,
we are good.
The Lord, they begin to confess that they stumble and they fall.
They stumble and they fall right now in the name of Jesus.
They're going to fall right there at your feet.
Yes.
Jesus. Had to look up and say, lift me up. But you're going to be woman and man enough of God to reach down a hand and say, get up here.
Get up.
I know you
man,
meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Turn it around.
I knew you meant it for evil. I know your evil was in it, on it, but
God. I know
Yes,
Lord.
God will be glorified out of this. You,
yes,
don't, tell, you don't tell me when the end is. He tells me when the end is. Because he's not only my Alpha, but he's my Omega.
Yes, thank you.
And tonight, God,
God,
I put to an end one thing. And I start another.
Yes, God.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You.
Yes, Lord. Thank
I'm
you,
into
Lord.
That. And I'm opening up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I'm bringing
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Oh,
thank you.
I need it.
Thank
I need
you.
It. I need it.
Thank you.
But he says, I'm closing it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm closing it, baby.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Closing it.
Close it, Lord. Close it.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, dear God.
They
yes,
had wore you
God.
Out long enough.
Yes,
wore
God.
You out long enough.
Yes.
It's been breaking you down almost.
Oh, yes.
You, are, you admit to yourself that sometimes I get weak.
Oh, yeah.
But I want you to know tonight that the open door is opening. You're going to walk through that door?
Yes.
And when you walk through that door, God's going to shut the door behind you.
Thank you, Father.
And so whoever wasn't with you going in, you can't worry about that.
Yeah.
You can't worry about that. You gave all the chance. Say, come on. Come on. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go, y'all.
For whatever reason, however reason. God said, I'm closing the doors.
Oh, God.
I'm closing the doors. See, what we didn't understand is that God did not bless everybody. He blessed Abraham in the Old Testament. Okay. And because those that were connected to Abraham, they got in on Abraham's blessing.
Yes.
He said to Abraham, he said, I will bless those that bless you.
Yes.
He said, this
yes,
blessing
Lord.
Is
yes,
for
Lord.
You and your descendants.
Yes, Lord.
For those that are connected to you. And I know we don't understand much about apostolic connectivity anymore. Covering and covenant anymore. We don't honor covenant no more. We don't honor covenant in ministry, in business, in relationship. Covenant. Mm. Your God is a covenant-keeping God, and there is two covenants. One covenant between you and God, then there's a covenant between you and man.
Yes.
You can't mistreat me and expect God to bless you.
Yes.
And I'm his covenant man.
Yeah.
He's the covenant-keeping God.
Yeah.
He said to Noah, he said, take your sons and their wives.
Hmm.
Notice the terms he used. He said, take your sons and your wives, Noah.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, everybody that is in relationship to you by covenant, not just by hanging out, but by covenant. Can you stand on your covenant?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
Because your covenant,
yes,
if it's a covenant for me, I am the God that is affirming covenant. So when the covenant and the pledges are made, God is there affirming that thing. And he's saying, are you sure? And you go, yeah, God, I'm sure. He said, are you sure? You go, yeah, God, I'm sure. He says, okay, then. You committed yourself to that vision. And I'm going to honor you as you honor it. You committed yourself to that relationship. I'm going to honor you as you honor it. You committed yourself to the marriage. I'm going to honor you as you honor it. You got to honor your covenant. Enemy always trying to throw you off course. And the first thing he want to do is take you out of your place of covenant.
Yep.
If you're going to fall out, don't fall out of that place.
Hmm.
I ain't leaving my church because you got an attitude.
Come on.
I ain't dropping my man of God because you don't like it. I'm sticking to my word, not your word. You don't run me.
Come on.
I run me. And therefore, I stick true to my covenant.
Come on.
My covenants are not made by fair weather actions. My covenants are made from the abundance of my heart. To the point that even when I don't like the one that I made covenant with, I stand firm into my covenant, trusting and believing that God will show up any moment from now on the basis of this here covenant.
Yes.
Noah says this. He said, Noah, take your sons and take your wives and put them in the boat because it's going to rain, man. And whoever is with you going to go gonna go to safety. Whoever's not in this boat is gonna be some problems. It's not personal. It's a matter of covenant.
Yes.
Joshua, I know you're praying because you're upset that you guys lost the battle at AI. But you gotta understand the reason y'all lost the battle at AI is not because I wasn't with you as God, but the reason you lost this battle is because somebody in your camp broke covenant. Achan stole or Achan took from the Babylonian garment that God told him not to take, and he put it amongst his own stuff, and therefore the people of God started losing battles when they should have been winning because they had a covenant breaker amongst them. And they went and they found that covenant breaker, and they killed him graveyard dead because previous they had already told him in Joshua chapter 1 and 2. He said, look, Joshua, we know that God is with you as he was with the servant Moses. So because God is with you now, they said whoever rebels against you rebels against the things of God. And therefore, whoever does not keep your word, Joshua, they said they were going to kill them graveyard dead. And how many of you know they kept their covenant and their word? They killed it because they understood that God was using Joshua to get them to the next level. And he said, before I let you mess up my place of blessing, we'll dismiss you all together.
Man.
It's too real now. I don't make half-heartedly covenants. I don't tell you I'm your friend today and I ain't your friend tomorrow.
Come
There's
on.
Nobody in my world that could ever tell you that I was half-hearted in a covenant with you. If you're my boy, you my boy. Trust me. I don't care if you weary, wounded, or sad. Drunk, high, whatever you are, I got your back.
Come on. Come on.
You can count on it. Count on it. And I ain't going to move because somebody else moved. I'm going to stay optimistic and I'm going to believe for you in spite of because I understand the power of covenant.
Yes.
Covenant.
Yeah.
Because it's covenant.
Covenant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say to Noah,
He said, the Bible says that he had Noah, his sons, and his wives get in on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And God, the sons got on, the wives got on, the animals got on. And the Bible says God shut the door behind Noah.
Come on.
Wait a minute. Noah was the first on board. Yeah. It didn't matter who else was on there. It didn't even really matter that Noah was on there. When God was closing in, the honor of the covenant. These people were with Noah. And God had made a promise to Noah. And Noah made a vow to God. And they kept their covenant. And so because God promised Noah one thing, everybody who was connected to Noah rightfully got the same blessing of peace, safety, and a new beginning.
All right.
Welcome, people of God. Don't you get up tomorrow morning without recognizing your new beginning. Old things are passed away. All things have become new.
Yes.
It's your new beginning.
Yes.
It's your new
Praise
beginning.
God. Praise God.
You got a new beginning.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
A new start. A fresh start.
Yes. Thank you.
Anybody blessed tonight?
Amen. Amen.
Thankful for a new start.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord, for the power of agreement and covenant.
Yes, yes.
Lord, we'll keep our covenant. We'll honor our covenant.
Yes, God.
We'll do what you said do. And in closing,
yes.
I just want to remind somebody that God said he closed it.
Yes.
He's closing
yes.
it.
Yes.
He's closing it.
Yes.
Yes, God, thank you. Bring closure to some. Yes, yes, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's sweet, I know. Yes, he's sweet, I know. The dark clouds may rise and strong winds may blow. Wherever I go,
come on.
That I have a Savior and He's sweet and
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God.
Sweet. I know.
Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Yes. Yes. Nobody like him. Nobody like him. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Come on now. Can't nobody.
They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Testify.
Yes, dear God.
You got the victory. You have the victory. You have victory. Father, in the name
yes.
of Jesus, thank you again for your word, which is righteously true. Father,
you, Father,
seal this word in our hearts. Prove it now, I pray. Let your light shine. Let your glory be revealed, Father. Father, anoint us now for what's ahead. Equip us, Father, for that which has been assigned, that we may do all that you have purpose for our lives to do. We give you the honor, we give you the glory, and we thank you in your magnificent Son's name, Jesus, that all things are well tonight. All things are new. All things are complete.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to turn you back over to the hands of those that are responsible tonight. And I want to say God bless you and thank you for this privilege to share God's word with you. I pray that it hits you at your points of need, interest, or concern. If not, I pray that it was just some level of education for you, not just revelation. But also I pray that it will illuminate you, that you will see something through your darkness. God bless your heart and all your parts. Sleep well tonight, and I can't wait to talk to you in the morning during our conference line and calling. God bless you again.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord Jesus.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a word.
Hallelujah.
A word. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, dear God. Thank you.
Well,
tonight, dear God.
I can't keep a mouth closed. I just can't keep a mouth closed. Oh, God, thank you. I tell you, Pastor, you were talking to me because I've been praying, and I'm saying, God, I'm pleading, I'm, let it be over. Let it be done, you know, as far as these things that I'm having to deal with, all the backstabbing and the people coming at me from left and right, playing like they're your friends and everything. Just before I got on this call, I went on Facebook and I said, I must confess. Yeah, I'm mad. I'm angry, you know, because I'm mad that my daughter is not here with me. But at the same time, all y'all sitting up here talking about your love and your care, baby, y'all better watch out and watch my God work. He is finna open up some doors. This is what I'm saying, you know. And then I get confirmation with Pastor Carter tonight, and I'm like, he is finna do some miraculous things in my life, and I know it. And here come this old ugly spirit. Come around his head up. My one grandson had a fight last week, one of the baby boys, then Sean's son tonight with his team. I said, oh, devil, you a lie. And my daughter, she was going to run out of here. I ran right out of here with her in the name of Jesus. You will not stop the flow that is coming to us. This will end. Like, oh, God, I'm about to have me a Holy Ghost party up in here. And I just thank the Lord. I thank God for his strength that he has put in me, because I know it is God. Because sometimes, y'all, I tell you the truth, I cannot lie. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Hallelujah.
It gets so heartbreaking for me sometimes when I think about my child. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But at the same time, when I think about God and I study my word and I pray, and it's just like he just holds me tight and say, Velma, don't give up, girl.
Yeah, it's going to be all right.
We speak to these people that you belong to me and I belong to you, and we're going to do some things, because like Pastor Ben teaches us, God knows he can trust me. Oh, hallelujah. When God knows he can trust you, you're on the right path. So with that happening to me, of course, that other ugly spirit trying to come, but I rebuke him in the name of Jesus, and everything that comes with it, I still say, you have no business with me. No matter how we finna get it going, and I just, woo, hallelujah.
Tell him.
I just wanted to share that with you. I had confirmation in the middle of, you know, pastor speaking the word and everything. I'm still running out to go and with my daughter now, and you know the my call was on speaker where they still could hear it, you know, and peace, be still. You know, and we get up there, it's just quiet.
Yes.
Release the angels went before me, you know. So, hey, come on now. Don't play with me in the name of Jesus. And it's because I belong to him, and he knows that he can do whatever he needs to do through me, because I'm a widow in the name of Jesus. So,
in the name of Jesus. God bless you.
Ooh, hallelujah.
God bless you. God bless you. Victory is yours. You still
yes,
got the victory. You still got it.
Victory.
You got it. Victory is yours.
We
thank God for you tonight. We thank you for Ladder House, and we thank Dr. Carter for sharing with us the word of God tonight. And as we close this out tonight, everybody have a good evening. I love you all, and we'll be with you again on next Tuesday for the Ladder House Empowerment Hour. God bless.
Amen.
Good night.
God bless you. Thank you, sister. Amen.
All right. Good night.